You're listening to the Fanboy Garage Podcast.
And welcome to the Fanboy Garage. I'm Chris Lasanti, joined by my co-host, Aaron Varola.
Yo, what's up, folks? Welcome to episode 155 of the Fanboy Garage. How are you all doing today? All right, so the box office continues to pick up some steam. Ghostbusters Afterlife is taking the cake at the number one spot. Spider-Man Far From Home drops a trailer. We've got a whole bunch of other stuff that we're going to get into. That I'm totally forgetting at the moment, but it's okay because we're going to get you there at the end of the show.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
The good thing is we can't forget because we already did. So that's
yes.
Nice. Yeah.
That's right. So let's start with the box office.
Yeah.
We'll remind ourselves the other shit that we got.
Sure. The story this week was the debut of Ghostbusters Afterlife, right? So this was a movie that people were not really sure about, like what it was going to do.
I certainly wasn't.
Yeah, well, people weren't sure that the projections were kind of all over the place, anywhere from, you know, 25 to, you know, 45 million. And then as it got close to the weekend, people started throwing around numbers in that $40 million range. And it wound up at 44 million for its opening weekend, which is considered a success.
Nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, and it actually credit to Box Office Pro, who nailed this one. When they released their box office projection, their forecast for the weekend on Thursday, they actually had Ghostbusters Afterlife at 44 million. So they were on this one, and you know, it actually could wind up higher when the final numbers come out tomorrow, because this movie had a really impressive Friday to Saturday hold. It only dropped 2%. From Friday to Saturday, and they're projecting a 30% drop from Saturday to Sunday. So if that number winds up better than expected, then you never know. But the studio originally was being very conservative as usual, and they were projecting 28 million going into the weekend. So they I'm sure are happy. And some interesting things with this, the word of mouth on it is really good.
Oh, it's hot.
It's an A-minus cinema score, like a 96% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. The post-track, all that stuff is all really positive. And so far, based on Twitter responses and whatnot, like, I have yet to see anyone, at least in my circles, that has not liked the movie that has seen it.
Same. I got like three or four text messages from people like, dude, you got to go see Afterlife. I'm like, shit, really?
Yeah.
Is it like that? I'm like, yo, I loved it.
Yeah, I'm seeing like people falling over themselves over this. And it's interesting because the critic response, you know, as was okay. I mean, 62%, not great. It's fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, but there's been a very big disparity between the...
Who gives a shit about the critics?
Exactly. This is clearly not a movie for critics. Now, I haven't seen it.
No.
I was actually very close to deciding to go see it.
Same.
Because of all the hype. And all the word of mouth, and then I didn't pull the trigger on it at the end, but I might go see it this week. Maybe like...
Yeah, the same, like as in before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I am in the same boat. Like, I was like, damn, I feel like I'm missing out.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like so many people are talking about it, I can't see it.
Yeah.
And I want to stay, and their excitement is like, I want to stay away from everything involved with it now.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Because I want to go in fresh.
And, you know, it's interesting. I could see why, just based on the reaction of the audience, having not seen the movie yet, I could see where critics, there would be that disconnect between critics and audience. Because if this movie is the one thing I think everybody pretty much agrees on, is that it's, you know, very, very nostalgia driven. Right. And there is going to be an audience that will eat that up. and there's going to be an audience, mm-hmm. the critics that are going to just be like, ugh, you know, that's not their thing. Like, critics don't really get caught up in nostalgia. Like, they're supposed to pretend that they're not human and didn't have childhoods. So, mm-hmm. I could totally see where you're going to have that breakdown. But yeah, I'm definitely, this is now on the map for me. Like, it wasn't before. Like, I was very happy waiting for it to be available at home. And now I'm kind of like, man, I actually feel like I'm missing out.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. And I was skeptical, based on the decision to release it early or to show it off early.
Right. I know
that freaked me out a little bit. And you know, so does the overplay on nostalgia. Like, I don't want to go in there and it'd be like just like a love fest to the first two films.
Sure.
I want it to stand on its own without overly relying on those other movies. But from everything that I've seen from other folks who I trust, it sounds like it strikes a good balance, so I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the thing for me is that, like, the Ghostbusters series, like, I don't know. I think we talked about this before, like, probably when that original teaser came out, which seems like mm-hmm. it was 9 years ago now.
No, it kind
of
was.
Well, yeah, it might have, almost just about, because considering we lost all of last year. You know, for me, like, Ghostbusters, look, I love the original. But, like, I've never really looked at Ghostbusters as, like, this franchise that's like, oh, my God, like, I can't believe it's coming back. Like, you know, to me, the only two great things that ever came out of Ghostbusters, the Ghostbusters franchise, was the original movie and the animated series. Mm. Right? The real Ghostbusters, which is a classic, an underrated classic. Ghostbusters 2, I've never been a big fan of. Like, whatever. I think it's okay. Like, I didn't love Ghostbusters 2. And, you know, and then the remake, reboot, whatever you want to call that thing. You know, the Paul Feig thing was, you know, that was terrible.
That was dead on arrival.
Yeah, and although, ironically, it now granted in different times, it did make a couple $1 million more in its opening weekend than this one did. But, of course, mm-hmm. this is a pandemic era. And, you know, I actually think that this seems to be, from what I've heard, a very family-driven film. Like, it's, and mm-hmm. that audience is not, right now, they're slow to come back. I mean, the movies that are making money right now are like adult-oriented, like kind of action sci-fi movies.
Sure.
Like, you know, like if you look at Dune, you look at Bond, you look at Venom, you look at like Shang-Chi, even Halloween Kills, right? I mean, movies like that, like where it's adult-driven stuff, because that's who's going right now to the theaters. But, you know, families, you know, they've been a little slow. Family movies have not really done that well, but this one is doing pretty well, and it probably would have done even better, you know, in a normal time. So sure. I think this is going to have good legs. I mean, you got a holiday week coming up. There's projections that they think that this movie could already be over $90 million or whatever by the end of next weekend. And you know what? Great.
I wouldn't be surprised by that. Yeah. Honestly,
that's
the word of mouth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like. Again, our circle, so total echo chamber here.
Yeah.
But, like, people are like, blitzed over this film.
Yes. Yeah, I was a little kind of taken aback by just
how
much people
like it. Yeah, so was
I. I
was like, I saw my timeline, and I'm like, wow, okay. A lot of people went to go see it.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Right.
Number two, the reaction is great, and people are like, I can't wait to see it again. And I'm like, okay, I have not heard that in a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and
that's cool.
What it seems like, just based on some of like the demos, like it seems like, you know, they were able to get the older crowd that would remember and love the original, right? And they're getting them to be able to take some of their kids to go see this, mm-hmm. like for their first time, which is exactly what you would want, right? Like when you make a movie like this. You know, so you're using the nostalgia to draw in an audience that could also bring you a new audience, which is great. I mean, I think that's why when we were talking about this with when we had Sean from the Sean Geek podcast on a few episodes ago, mm-hmm. and we were talking about how like there was, you know, concern over like the trailer and stuff, and was it going to be too fan servicey? And you know, I had said like I, you know, that's the stuff that is going to bring the people in. right? Like that's that's the way you know, when you market, like you want to use those things to draw in that particular audience. And so far, that seems like that's exactly what's happening. So,
yeah.
Now, what's not happening is wait. Go ahead. You had something else?
No. I was gonna say that, like, the film did a good job in my mind, like on the nerdy stuff, relying on the things that worked really well, like practical type effects and stuff like that. Like, now, granted, a lot of it is CGI, but I've been following Adam Savage on his Tested channel, and he has been doing like this whole Ghostbusters Afterlife rundown stuff with like revisiting the proton packs and all of that, going to the set and talking about, you know, what it was like going into Ecto-1, and like that's the kind of stuff that I get jazzed about, because it's, you know, you've got Jason Reitman, who obviously Ivan Reitman's son, and has a lot of love for the franchise and the culture of the film and all that, and he's building on that, and I think that's the stuff that kind of rings true for folks.
Yeah, definitely.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
So in second place, a kind of a different story is Eternals, which now in its third week it drops out of the number one spot, but it did $10.8 million, which is a 59.7% drop. So rounded up, it's a 60% drop, which means it's 2 weeks in a row that this movie has had 60% or more of a drop, and that's not great. So it's at $135.8 million. I think it's about $335 million worldwide. So it getting to $400 million worldwide is going to be, it's possible, but it's not guaranteed. So this movie is not performing like a movie that has strong word of mouth, and that's because it doesn't. I don't know what we can do with that. You know, I don't know what that means. I don't think that that's a good sign for this movie.
Look, we know Eternals was a risk for Marvel, right? Do we think it's because it is completely unconnected to some of the things that have come before it?
No, because Shang-Chi would be the same thing, and that did really well. And I think that, and we've seen...
But Shang-Chi is a very different kind of film, though.
Well, it is, but it's still an unfamiliar character.
Super
connected.
Not characters.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we can go back to, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy again was same thing, and that did amazingly well because it was a crowd pleaser, and this movie isn't. And I think that's basically all this comes down to. You know, Marvel Studios with the MCU has had a history of introducing us to characters that were unfamiliar to mainstream audiences, audiences that have become hardcore fans of this genre, maybe that don't read all the comics and stuff like that. So, and we've seen they've had success, right? They had success with Guardians of the Galaxy. They had success with Captain Marvel. They had success with Shang-Chi. They've had, you know, relative success with, you know, Doctor Strange and Ant-Man and stuff like that. I mean, those movies weren't huge blockbusters like the other two, but still, I mean, these were not characters. So this is the first time that they've had really bad word of mouth. I mean, look, they not the first time they've made a movie that didn't go over well.
Right.
But it's the first time that it's also the first time that an introductory movie has not gone over well. If you look at the other movies that haven't done great with like critics relative to the thing, right? It's Thor: The Dark World, it's Iron Man 2. You know, stuff like that. This is the first time, you know, you're introducing these characters and your movie. I think when you're introducing characters, the movie has to be special in some way. You know, Black Panther, right? Perfect example. And this wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, it just was whatever. The marketing, I don't think, was great for it.
No.
And again, you know, the critics' reviews, whatever. I mean, they weren't great, but you know, like we saw with
the audience scores.
Yeah, like we saw with Venom, that doesn't really matter as much. But the audience kind of fell in line with the critics, you know, in a lot of their, you know, word of mouth metrics and stuff. So clearly this was not a movie that connected in a big way. And now we're seeing that there is granted, it's in a different time. So it would be interesting to see what a movie like this would have done, you know, in a normal world.
Right.
You know, but, you know, in a different time, in this time, we're seeing now that there is a ceiling for these movies, you know, and you just can't crank them out now and just automatically assume that it's Marvel, people are going to go see it.
Yeah, so what kind of pivot do you think they take, if any?
I mean, I don't know that you do. See, I don't think that, like, Marvel can, they can,
take,
this
they can take
happen.
It.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, listen, the movie's $135.8 million and still counting, right? I mean, it's not like it's whatever. So, you know, it's not like this is a colossal bomb under the circumstances, right? But, yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't think they worry too much about it. I think that maybe you want to listen to the audience maybe a little bit and see what people did like about the movie and maybe retool and focus on some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, but I
mean,
I
they are going to come back. They will, you know, and a lot of the stuff that was introduced will have, you know, some consequence in the rest of the MCU. So you can't get away from that. I think it's going to be an infusion of sorts.
Yeah.
Like Thor the Dark World. Again, totally different. Very, you know, this sequel just not good at all. But then they come back with Ragnarok.
Right. It changed.
Reinvigorates
exactly.
The franchise.
And a different feel, right? Different tone.
Tremendously.
Yeah. Just kind of in line with things that they know have worked already for them in the past. Yeah.
Right. And so it could be, you know, could be very much that, right? So like, realigning those characters with maybe a Guardians of the Galaxy, right? Infuse some of that James Gunn vibe into it, and there you go. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's just like we take it off the chin and we keep it moving. We've got they've got Spider-Man, they've got a couple of other big things, and even some of the stuff that was alluded to in Eternals is like big stuff, I think.
No, stuff there's definitely like, big ideas and big things in it. I don't think they drop it. They're not going to drop it. I mean, they're not going to, Marvel's not going to sit here and be like, oh, this is a flop. We need to, I mean, they're not going to drop it. This stuff is planned out, you know, for the most part. So they'll just, you know, I don't think they're going to rush to give us Eternals 2.
No.
But you know what? They're not really rushing these days to give us anything too, because they have so many movies and so many characters. And now with these Disney Plus shows, like, you know, I mean, it's not like you're going to crank out sequels every couple of years anymore to a lot of these movies.
Right.
Some of them, yes, not everything. So, you know, I don't think that necessarily matters. I mean, look, they'll survive. I mean, you know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe we get a Thor Ragnarok-esque, I don't want to say retooling, but, you know, maybe like just an adjustment.
Yeah.
Not that it's going to have the same feel as Thor Ragnarok.
I mean, Icarus is gone. To me, he was like one of the, like in the beginning, he was just sucked until he went bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's room to be
super compelling,
able to,
but then he just threw himself in the sun. So
sure.
Whatever.
There's room to be able to focus on positives, because there are positives in that movie.
Sure.
They just want to, you know, maybe focus on those characters and those beats.
Like cherry pick them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that they like pop up in other stuff.
Yeah.
Like Makari. That'd be amazing.
Sure.
Speedster popping up in some Marvel film or whatever.
You could do that. You could introduce them in other, and then maybe that gets them some momentum, you know?
Yeah.
That association and So, cool. I mean, that's worked before. Right, it worked with, I mean, not that this was a retooling, but like, you know, they introduced Black Panther in a huge movie, right? He introduced their version of Spider-Man.
That's right.
In a huge movie, and it paid off big time. So, yeah, I mean, I still think that You know, Captain Marvel's success owes a lot to the fact that people really felt like it was going to tie in big time into the Infinity Saga.
Yeah.
And it, you know, didn't, but whatever. But yeah, I mean, so that association can help when needed.
And yeah, I'm very interested to see what happens with the Marvels.
Yeah.
Which was the, you know, supposed to be
Captain Marvel 2, yeah.
Captain Marvel
That's 2. I find it hard to believe that the, and you never know with them, and they were planning, I guess, on introducing Kamala Khan and Ms. Marvel, but I don't know that the plan for Captain Marvel 2 was to be the Marvels.
Be that.
Yeah, so I think that's interesting. But taking a look at the rest of this, not too much here. Dune, you know, another $5.5 million, so it's at $98.2 million, so it's knocking on the door of $100 million domestic. Venom 2, interestingly enough, Venom 2 drops only 28.6%, 2.8 million. Dune was at $3 million. I'm sorry. The week before was at $5.5 million. Venom, $2.8 million. So that movie's at $206.5 million domestic. And of course, Bond, another $2.7 million. It's a 40% drop, which is obviously worse than the previous week, which is only like 19% or whatever. But the movie did debut for home video on demand rental, even though it's $20. That week, so you would have expected a steeper drop.
Yeah, people going like, I'm not going to the theater. I'm just going to see
right.
it now.
You know, but of course that movie is at, you know, $155 million, and it's still going strong. It's $734 million, so it has surpassed F9 as the pandemic era worldwide champion.
Awesome
for now.
What a film.
Yeah. And Venom, Let There Be Carnage, for those who care, is at $454.7 million worldwide.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's that. I mean, interestingly enough, your boy, talk about two worlds colliding for Aaron Varola. Your boy, The Rock, has been petitioning heavy in the last couple of days to be the next Bond.
That dude is smoking crack.
Yeah.
I mean, he's smoking something. Like, I get the allure of wanting to play James Bond, but
sure.
Damn, bro, you are so off on that.
Oh, it's
one.
A poor fit. I mean, it's funny how you can have, like, do I say, like, two worlds collide, because obviously you're a huge fan of The Rock and you're a huge fan of Bond, but that doesn't necessarily mean those two things together are going
to
work.
They don't belong.
You know, it's like, imagine if The Rock was like, hey, you know what, I'd like to play, you know, Luke Skywalker in...
Yeah,
like, you'd be like, you know what? As much as I love Star Wars and as much as I love The Rock, like that doesn't really
that just
work.
Doesn't work.
In fact, I don't know that I need The Rock at all in Star Wars. You know, like
acting aside, like
physicality aside,
physicality is the stuff that like messes me up in this.
Yeah.
He's huge.
Yeah, James Bond should be a terrifying Hulk of a person.
Like, you don't even need him to shoot a weapon. He
right.
shoots the eyebrow.
Like, I think The Rock in a James Bond spoof, you know, where he's, like, kind of playing off on those exact things, the fact that he is gigantic and, you know, like, that could work, but I don't need him as Bond.
No. No, like, cool story, bro, but definitely not. Keep it to Hobbs.
Good effort.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I saw, what was that movie that he made? Something Intelligence, Central Intelligence
yes.
or something?
Yeah.
Horrendous. No, we're good. we're good, dude. Like, no, definitely not. Love the guy. I was just watching before we jumped on the show, I was watching Jungle Cruise.
You know what? Three times I've been tempted, I guess
it's
is the
good.
Better way to put it. Yeah, I'm sure it is, to put it on,
I
just haven't.
I'm enjoying the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And was like, oh my gosh, like, I got to do my show, you know? I was really having a lot of fun with the movie. He's great. And it's funny because I was watching it thinking to myself, damn, you know, I don't even know how many years ago The Scorpion King came out. He was tremendously bad.
But God, it's got to be like 98 or something, right?
When was that?
It's got to be like 98 or something like that. Like, I was working in radio, I think, when that movie came out.
Yeah. It's bad.
Oh, so like 2002. So it wasn't. Yeah. So I was just out of radio when that movie came out. Yeah.
Jeez.
So they must have been talking about it
20 years ago. That movie came out. So in 20 years, I mean, the guy has definitely done some.
Well, I mean, he was still like a wrestler like then. Like, he was a pro wrestler making a movie when that came out. Now he's The Rock. Like, he's The Rock who happened to be
Dwayne Johnson.
He's Dwayne Johnson who happened to be a pro wrestler at one point in his career.
Yeah.
Like, it's completely different now.
Yeah. It's definitely a 180 for him. And I see, you know, I could see it. But let's break into some more serious shit, dude, before you go all in on Bond.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's never going to be
do some heartfelt joint.
No, he's never going to be a fit for that. And nor does him, which is okay. Range. I don't need him to be. He's never going to be a fit for that character. Doesn't matter. He could turn into Olivier. He's still not going to be a fit for that character. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's kind of funny. So, you know, speaking of wrestlers who've turned actors, so Dave Bautista.
I know where you're going with this, and I was just going to bring up the same thing. The Jason Momoa thing?
No. I wasn't going to go there. But that's interesting, too. But, Dave Bautista has been taking jabs at, like, the Marvel stuff.
Yeah, well.
And he said something like, you know, because he's in Dune, and he said he's happy that he gets a little bit – he gets more screen time doing stuff that he likes and not saying stupid stuff, like not being the stupid funny guy on the screen.
Okay.
Like, stupid shit coming out of his mouth. And I was like, dude, didn't you make an entire career out of saying stupid shit?
He's essentially the stupid funny guy. That's what he is, which is okay. Everyone's got to be something.
But he, like, shits. He's shitting all over it.
He's in Dune for 5.5 minutes. I mean,
that's exactly what I was going to say.
Like, let's not, you know, some make it out like he, you know, it's not like he was in a remake of The Shawshank Redemption, you know, and he's sitting there having these long monologues and stuff that are just amazing. I mean, he was in the movie for 5 minutes, and he's a bruising muscle in that movie. Like, he's a warrior.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his role. I mean, which, fine. Look, I like Bautista. I enjoy him as an actor, and I am very excited for this. Hopefully, it winds up being official. This him and Jason Momoa being in a buddy cop movie. I'm already online for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
but again, what is that going to be? That movie? It's going to be those two guys just saying stupid stuff.
Yeah. So this is the quote. He goes, the thing with this character was it just gave me an opportunity to showcase a different type of performance.
This is the Dune character.
Yes, okay. And that's what I really love about working with Denis Villeneuve. I get an opportunity to show myself as a performer in a different light. I'm not just a guy in Guardians of the Galaxy walking around shirtless and saying stupid shit. The role really just gives me the opportunity to just play these, like, really, really deep characters, so that's a blessing.
Did I miss something?
What?
Isn't he shirtless in Dune? Maybe he's not.
No. He's got, like, some like, armor on.
All right. Either way.
Dude, what?
The only thing I remember...
Is there, like, a director's cut of Dune I didn't see?
Right.
You know?
The only thing I remember of him in that movie was his scene where he's fighting off everybody and then he winds up dying.
No. That's Jason Momoa.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. That's Momoa. Bautista is the son or whatever, right?
Yeah, he's
of the
something
emperor
like that.
Or whatever. He's the nephew, whatever the hell he's supposed to
be. Yeah,
the
nephew. Yeah. He has like two lines.
So this is, I already forgot. Here's how profound Dave Bautista's role is in Dune. I just mixed him up with Jason Momoa and forgot what he is in the movie.
There you go.
That's how interesting. That deep character.
He shaved
his
eyebrows. Great
That's
job.
Right. Yeah. Now it's coming back to me a little bit because I was hooked on this whole Jason Momoa thing with him and Jason Momoa being in this buddy cop movie. That's right. Yeah. But come on, dude. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right.
You know, I mean, this is the guy who made that Kickboxer remake.
Oh my gosh, that's
you know what
right.
I mean? Come on, that is isn't he right. Tong Po in like the kickboxer remake?
Really,
like this is what he's concerned about?
The direct to Netflix version.
The movie. So you're gonna, and I don't even necessarily know, to be fair, that quote is really crapping on Marvel so much, but like that's the movie. That's the reason why anybody is actually paying you to make movies, is because of Guardians of the Galaxy and right. Drax. That's the only reason why anybody can. The only difference between him and any other pro wrestler not named Dwayne Johnson that has ever really tried their hand at like a sustained acting career is that movie, is that franchise, Guardians of the Galaxy, and what it did for him. So
it's super to me. That's, you know, he is taking a very similar track in a way of Dwayne Johnson. He should be, you know, he should be counting his blessings, because in my mind, Dwayne Johnson paved the way for a lot of these guys to do something special, like you know, Cena. I can't even think of anyone else, because like they never really went as far as what Hulk Hogan was in.
You had Hulk Hogan was in Rocky III, obviously, back when he was still like in the AW, before he even like Hulkamania and all that stuff started.
Right.
And that kind of put him on the map in pro wrestling, actually. Roddy Piper had his run.
That's right.
I mean, he actually retired from wrestling for a minute to be an actor and did They Live, which is a classic, but never, I mean, he just got stuck in a bunch of B movies like Hell Comes to Frogtown and stuff like that. And then he went back to wrestling. He made like Body Slam, which was actually a movie that is a very big guilty pleasure of mine. If you were a fan of like the 80s rock and wrestling connection, this movie Body Slam, where Roddy Piper and the guy who was the Tonga Kid at the time, play a tag team, and Dirk Benedict from the A-Team is the manager, and it's whatever. Anyway, Tanya Roberts is in it. And Hogan then went on to, I mean, he had No Holds Barred, which was actually a co-production of, you know, Vince McMahon was involved in producing that. So that was very much just like Hulk Hogan as somebody that's essentially Hulk Hogan in a movie. And then he did Suburban Commando and that kind of crap.
But that was kind of it. It was like the dumb meathead.
Exactly. I mean, he's
Rock,
a terrible
the Rock
actor.
Was in, they've all been the dumb meathead.
Yeah, well, that's
In the earlier parts of their career,
except for
as an actor,
Pipe, like Roddy Piper in They Live, wouldn't say is the dumb meathead in that movie, but that's what you're hiring these guys, because they're big, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're muscular, they have charisma, and you know, I mean, Cena's actually found his way into some comedy, which I think he's great at.
Right.
And he's been okay. I mean, he's had a decent, you know, acting career,
which the Rock also did for a bit, right? Like stuff like the Rundown and
The Rock.
Yeah, those are, you know, kind of the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah, the Rock balanced it out. He was doing action, so he did like the Scorpion King and the Walking Tall remake and stuff like that. And then like the Rundown's kind of a hybrid, like. Action
right.
comedy.
Then he did like Get Shorty.
Get Shorty, yeah. He kind of just kind of over time just became like a real actor.
Yeah, you think back, the guy's got quite a filmography right now.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Because he hasn't, I mean, he's the guy, so like when Hulk Hogan was making his movies, like he was still a pro wrestler. Right. Roddy Piper, he retired, but I mean, essentially that lasted a couple of years. Right. And then he was right back to wrestling again. So he was never. And you know, like even a John Cena, like it wasn't until the last couple of years that he tried to focus on acting, you know, more than being a wrestler.
Around the blockers.
Yeah. So and now he's in that. Yeah. Now he's in that phase of his career where he wants to think of himself as an actor, and he will pop up in wrestling as needed or when it interests him. You know, like around WrestleMania season and things like that.
Right.
You know, and you know, Batista's the same thing, although he's been now focused on acting a little longer. But The Rock, I mean, at the height of his career and popularity in wrestling, he decided, no, I want to be an actor.
Yeah.
and has he has invested more time into it than what a lot of these people. And he made the decision when he was young enough, you know, to still be able to establish himself and dove into the business too.
Yeah,
you know, started a production company and like he just became like Mr. Hollywood.
He's more than Mr. The dude's a mogul.
Well, yeah,
at this moment,
yeah,
you know, he's huge. Like, I got a bottle of Terramana sitting on my bar. I've got Zoa sitting in my refrigerator. This isn't shit just because I like the dude,
right?
And what he represents.
Yeah, but I mean, he's
like,
as
big... I like the shit that he backs. I like the stuff that he's creating.
Yeah, he's
you know what I mean?
He's as big a star as you have right now.
Yeah,
you know, in a time when there aren't a lot of like true movie stars.
Yeah,
you know, he's one of them. You know, he's somebody that kind of transcends that. But it just don't be Bond.
No, please. Just leave that shit alone. I like I said, like all this talk about Bond and whatever, and like who's going to be the next. Like I know that it's coming. It's going to be the unrelenting storm of conversation. But like, let it breathe for a bit.
Sure. And speaking of,
I still can't think about that movie without getting a little emotional.
Really?
Yeah, it's messing me up.
Well, I get it. Yeah, I mean, sure.
Like, I don't even know how I'm going to see it again. Like, I can't watch this. I got to watch this by myself again.
Yeah.
Need a moment?
Speaking of, though, the unrelenting storm, the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer dropped, of course, on the Tuesday as we expected it to.
Yes.
And, you know, I had said on Twitter that night, I was like, you know, the nice thing about this trailer is that... It's going to break the internet either way, regardless of what is or isn't in it. It's still breaking the internet, you know, and you know, that's kind of what happened. I mean, I became obsessed with the trailer when I saw it, not because of what wasn't in it or what I was trying to figure out might be in it, but because I just liked the trailer for what it was. Like, what was in it was really cool. And I, you know, like that's all they needed to do to sell me. I mean, not that they needed to sell me. I was sold already. But like, you know, I thought that they, it's interesting that this trailer is almost like a sequel to the first trailer. You know, because like that first trailer focused a lot on like the, like him being, Peter being outed as Spider-Man and like how that's, the repercussions of that, like with his friends and his family and all of that stuff.
And the desire to. Go back to anonymity.
Exactly. The desire to go to Doctor Strange and try to have it like all reversed. And now with this trailer, it's like all hell is broken loose. And now it's focused on like, you know, the multiverse opening and these villains coming in and all of that stuff. So it's the two trailers kind of work together to give you an idea of like what the whole story of the movie is. You know, I thought the interesting line though in this was when Doctor Strange says to Peter, like, when you messed up that spell.
Yeah, when you botched the spell.
Yeah, you know, this is what happened. So we all assume that, you know, oh, is it a rogue Doctor Strange or like, does Doctor Strange do something to screw it up? Well, apparently it's Peter that does something to screw it up, whatever that is. You know, so that's interesting. Of course, we had the cool moment where Dr. Octopus grabs the upside down Peter by the neck and says, "You're not Peter Parker."
Right.
You know, so that's like, okay, not that we needed to know like that that's obviously a Doc Ock from a different universe, but I mean, that's cool to just kind of get that confirmation. And we got to see the Green Goblin in the Raimi outfit or whatever, like a CGI version it looked like, right, of the Raimi outfit because it looked a little better. You hear the voice. And then there was that other Goblin moment where the goblin's coming in on the glider with just
without
like goggles on. And people have been going back and forth over like, is that James Franco? Was it, what was it? And a lot of people seem to be saying that it's Willem Dafoe without the mask on.
Yeah.
Which would make sense.
Well, I've seen some concept art.
Yeah.
That has like Willem Dafoe with the goggles.
Right. So
that he gets from Octavius.
Yeah, hopefully that means that that's how they'll write out that stupid suit.
Sure.
It would be great if he was like, dude, what the heck?
Like, I mean, the fact that it's coming back, you, it's not going anywhere.
Imagine if if Octavius just like, dude, what the hell are you wearing, man? Yeah, what is that?
Take off that stupid ass mask.
Yeah, I got something much better for you. Look, they gave me a shirt, thank God, so I don't have to have that like shirtless leather jacket thing going for me.
Yeah, the fat boy look.
Yeah, so
the streaker look.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All I can think of is like Gremlins, eesh, where like the little streaker gremlin comes out and he's like,
yeah. And we got to see the Sandman, at least in the like his sand form or whatever, and of course Electro, which, you know, we knew that Electro was going to have a different look, and man, he sure does. It's a much better look.
Does.
It's not completely comic accurate, but it's at times it's closer to the comic,
yeah,
than that stupid thing in Amazing Spider-Man 2. But it's interesting because,
well, before we go there, let's pay some fairness to the Amazing Spider-Man 2's version of Electro,
right?
Because it came from the Ultimates.
It did, but I mean, look, the Green Goblin in the Ultimate Universe looked stupid too, and they didn't use that.
Exactly.
Yes,
I know.
But
Nick Fury is
exactly.
Sam Jackson is Nick Fury. Sure. Is, well, the Ultimates, and then, you know,
the really Phase One. A lot of Phase One of the MCU took a lot from the Ultimates.
Yeah.
The whole concept and the look and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, interesting to think of, like, so does that mean that Electro is from a different universe? Is that not the Amazing Spider-Man 2 Electro? Is he from like a different universe?
I don't know. So the comment that stood out to me was the Doctor Strange explaining how they all die fighting,
yes,
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right? And so these could be like, you know, Octavius and the Green Goblin, and they could all be different versions of the characters that we've seen in other Spider-Man films. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not exactly, to your point, like that Electro may not be the Electro from Amazing Spider-Man,
yeah,
2, but he still ends up being Electro, just a different version,
sure,
of him.
The reason why I say that is because, like, clearly they went out of their way to show us the Green Goblin suit from Raimi's Spider-Man, which,
right,
you know, if they wanted to redo that suit, they certainly could have, just like they redid Electro, right?
Right.
You know, they could have said, no, Electro looks stupid, we're going to redo it. So they could have done that too. And you know, so it's interesting to see, like, is the Willem Dafoe without the suit, is that like a different goblin from a different multiverse?
Sure.
Is it the same goblin?
It very well could be. I mean, there is that other line that says, I can't stop them from coming through.
Right.
Like Doctor Strange says.
And if that's the case, then like,
multiple villains could become, you know.
Does this Electro, like, does he know, and is he connected to Andrew Garfield's or a version of Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man in the same way?
Right.
Or is that connection the Lizard? You know, like, is that, because that's obviously the Lizard from Amazing Spider-Man.
Right.
So that's
right.
Why I say, like, it's interesting that, like, they kind of gave us versions, like, they went out and got Alfred Molina, right? They got Willem Dafoe, mm-hmm, they did the Green Goblin suit, they did the Lizard from Amazing Spider-Man. They've done all of this. We have not seen the Sandman in his human form, so we're not sure what that's going to be like.
But here's the other thing too: did that Sandman actually die, or did he just, like, because he did, in my mind, he didn't die, and he was redeemed at the end of Spider-Man 3.
Well, I did see something that said that supposedly this movie is going to address where the Lizard and Sandman have been.
Interesting.
I think Daniel RPK had that. Like, it's like
they, well, I mean, the lizard dies at the end of Amazing Spider-Man, doesn't he?
Yeah, I don't even.
Or
remember.
Or does he get caught? I don't even remember.
Yeah,
I feel like he dies.
Yeah,
I feel like he dies, but it's been a long time since I've seen that film.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I saw that movie.
Or does he get locked up? No, I think he dies. No, maybe he gets locked up. I just remember someone in a cell and then they're like getting spoken to.
No, so the movie ends, yeah, in a the mid-credit scene, Kirk Connors is in a prison cell.
Yeah, so he's alive.
And he speaks with the man. Remember that man in the shadows that
yeah, everyone was wondering? Yeah, assembling is that, the Sinister Six.
Yeah, who that was going to, that never went anywhere. Right. Yeah.
So there's Kirk that Connors guy. And like, is Paul Giamatti's character, the Rhino, going to pop up? Probably not.
No, I doubt it. But yeah, I mean, so it's just, it is interesting how they've got, I'm just be curious to see, and we'll find out when the movie comes out, but like what the, if there is one, like what the explanation is for this Electro, because the, clearly there is a reason, and it can't just be because that he looked stupid,
right,
for why they decided to go this route. Right. I mean, I can't imagine that that was just their, because usually they're good with this stuff, and if they wanted to tie it in, like they, I think if they really would have had him look like that. So it'd be interesting to see how they handle all that.
Yeah, they got to answer that. They got to answer how they, if it is the same characters, how they come back to life since they died.
Right, because that at least we know in the trailer that in theory these characters have all died fighting Spider-Man. So
yes,
did the spell undo that somehow? Or
yeah, so Octavius dies. Green Goblin dies, and so does Electro.
Well, I mean, right, because we don't know who he's speaking about when he says they have all
died facing.
Right, I mean,
Spider-Man,
that could just be, we don't know who they all are at that point in the movie. And interesting too, we had the shot of Mary Jane or MJ falling.
Oh yeah, man, that was like a total paying homage to the Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yep.
And Amazing Sam Raimi Spider-Man, they all fall.
She falls, yep. So that's
it'd been great. It's going to be so fun to see if like one of the other Spider-Man saves her.
Yeah, that's what people are wondering. Whether that's what's
and then there's
happen.
The infamous Phantom kick.
Of course, the punch or kick or
the
whatever.
Punch or
yeah,
kick or whatever
thing.
It is of Lizard
from the was it a Brazilian?
It just kind of looks like. To me, there's like a fist that breaks through all the scaffolding. It may just have been that, but you know, I've seen Marvel at their best. It's not even Marvel, right? Sony, who's creating all the marketing for this.
Yeah.
You know, the studios manufacture some interesting trailers.
Sure. I mean, we've seen Marvel do it before, right? With the Avengers, with the Civil War trailer, right? Then they take Spider-Man out of the airport
out of
scene.
The running scene, they took him out of that.
Yeah,
they
and,
took,
and
they added Thor's eye back in Ragnarok.
Yeah, and there was something with Infinity War too, right? Or with it was like Hulk in something or not in something.
Yeah, so Hulk was running with the Avengers, but then they cut that scene.
Right. So yeah, I mean, you know, could they have digitally removed other Spider-Men from that? Of course they could have.
100%.
You know, if and you know that is not in the domestic version of the trailer that we got. They cut at that point. Like our version cuts before you get to see that Phantom punch or whatever it is.
Right.
Obviously there's a reason for that as well. Yeah, who knows? I mean, again, at this point, none of us will know. What's interesting is, do you think that this is it? For trailers, or do you think that there's one more trailer left? Maybe like, I mean, tickets go on sale in a week, so I don't think we're going to get another trailer in a week, obviously. But do you think that maybe like the week before
the
movie
we're gonna get the TV spots?
Well, the TV spots, yeah. But do you think we get another trailer maybe a week before the movie that does show us something, or do you think this is it?
I hope not.
Yeah, probably
but
not.
Like,
right?
I don't know. You know, I don't know, man. I would assume that if you're going to get all of these villains from all these different universes to pop up, then they have to add the Spider-Man.
It would make sense because one of the themes in the trailer is that, like, I can't fight all of these people.
Yeah.
So, like, why have that theme if he's then going to turn around and defeat them all by himself?
And then there's also the philosophical piece of this where, you know, they're setting it up like Peter doesn't want to have to kill these guys, you know, he doesn't want to have to do that. And in truth, And I'm trying to speak here as I'm thinking about it. He didn't necessarily kill all of his villains. Now, Quentin Beck, it's alluded that he's dead, but we don't necessarily know if that's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the only Spider-Man that didn't kill his foe. Right? So that's not... So the philosophical stuff there, like Peter Parker let the glider hit Norman Osborn.
Right.
He let Dr. Octavius sacrifice himself. He killed Venom. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So Sam Raimi's Spider-Man is a murderer. And then Andrew Garfield's guys, while he didn't kill the lizard, he definitely let Electro die. So the morality piece of it is interesting too. So if they're both like, you gotta let them, you know, these guys have to go, and this Peter Parker's like, you can't, like, it's not who I am. I think that's an interesting concept.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but sure. You know, we'll see.
Yeah.
But I would love to see, you know, the other two guys in their suits and kind of getting another shot to play the character that they loved, you know? And it would be to Tom Holland's quote, the most cinematic comic book movie ever made. It'd be cool to see all that shit. I think it'd be the first time we'd see, like, those live-action kind of characters pop up like that.
That would be, yeah, I mean... You know, we've seen a lot of cool things. Like, we've seen the Avengers, right,
mm-hmm.
form. We've seen, you know, major story arcs like Civil War and Infinity War and that whole Infinity Saga and all of that stuff.
I mean, this would take the cake.
Yeah, we've seen, like, you know, you saw the Justice League. We've seen Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman together for, you know, regardless of what you think of the movie. Like, we saw it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not something that we've seen. Now, we're going to get a little bit of this stuff with, like, The Flash 2 and coming up in DC, where you're going to have a couple of Batman and you're going to have a couple of Flashes and all that stuff in Supergirl and whatnot. But, like, to have, like, three Spider-Men or whatever it's going to be and all these villains and stuff, like, that's something from different movie universes and stuff. Like, that'll be the first time that we really see...
In a
like
cinematic
that.
Form. Like, yeah. I think so. I'm like, I'm trying to, like, go back in my mind. I mean, the X-Men pulled some bullshit like that with, like, oh, let's in the Deadpool movie, we're going to show you, like,
right.
the X-Men behind a door, and then we're going to weave in Wolverine. But, like, that's all one studio.
Exactly.
One,
yeah.
You know.
And what they did with, like, Days of Future Past and stuff, like, that was... people playing younger
cool.
and older versions of themselves.
But that was pretty dope. But this is different because these were starts and finishes of, like, parts of a franchise.
Right. Right. And this is different franchises colliding. Like, yeah.
It never ended.
Right.
You know, these guys still were fighting, even though we finished telling you the story because Tobey Maguire got too old, Andrew Garfield wasn't as interesting, and Tom Holland was cooler. Like... It's still cool to think that these guys were still Spider-Man out there.
Sure.
Doing their thing, and now they're gonna match up with the current Spider-Man. I think that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
and you dope. Gotta think from Sony's perspective, I mean, they gotta be loving this because, like, this is gonna renew interest in their
totally.
Spider-Man movies. You know, so I mean, I'm sure there are gonna be people out there that are gonna be discovering, you know, the Raimi series and the Mark Webb, Andrew Garfield series.
Yeah, and it gets people super interested then at, like, the prospect of some of these other side stories that they're going to be spinning off
sure.
of, like, Morbius and
yeah.
some of the other stuff, because they now have the potential, if the appetite is there for some of the actors, frankly, to pick things back up if they wanted to and tell multiple Spider-Man stories if they really felt like it was cool.
They could.
And they're kind of doing that already.
And even if not, they're – it adds a level of credibility to what Sony's doing with their Spider-Man universe that so far has not had Spider-Man.
Right.
You know, because it's like, well, look, like it's all now it's connected kind of sort of, you know, and I mean, in with Venom, it, I mean, it is clearly that we've, we've seen, right? That they exist in some level right now in the same multiverse anyway. So it does add a little bit of that. And, you know, Sony going on it, and it's going to add intrigue. I mean, look, we see Michael Keaton popping up in the Morbius trailer.
Right, right.
You know, so like things like that, that I think are going to be really helpful. And I don't know what the end result is going to be for Sony and Marvel and Spider-Man and whatnot. I know, was it you that mentioned that Kevin Feige had said like he can't see Spider-Man not being part of the MCU?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that eventually, I still think eventually, you know, he can hand the reins over to a Miles Morales.
Oh, man, like that would be dope.
You know, but I mean, if I'm Sony, like, I probably would want that for myself. But I don't think, does Sony really care? Like, I know people are like, oh, why wouldn't Sony take it for themselves? But in a lot of ways, Sony is, right? Because, like, Sony is the distributor of these Spider-Man movies. Marvel Studios is producing them. Mm-hmm. But Sony is actually the distributor. So they're making the money, right, on these movies. Like when this movie, whatever this movie makes, right, that is going to be credited to Sony, not to Disney.
Right. No.
So, no. I mean, yes, Disney, you know, and Marvel gets their, you know, when they could use him in one of their movies, like the Avengers and stuff like that, right, which is Sony gets, you know, I'm sure they get something, but they're not reaping in the revenues of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's not like, like Sony has to, so basically Sony has this great studio making these movies that has a proven track record, more than a proven track record, and like they just have to distribute it and market it. Great. That's got to be a better deal than them having to make these movies themselves.
Right.
So I don't, you know, I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, that's an also interesting thing, because they are essentially saying to Marvel, who's making the films, like, we're going to give you guys access to all of the Spider-Man stuff. Like, make the Spider-Man story you guys want to tell.
Yeah.
And that's wild to me that they would go so deep then with all of that, right? Because, you know, I don't know how long Tom Holland has in this role anymore. I don't know what his contract is. I don't know what that deal is between Marvel and Sony, but like, this is pretty substantial, and the money's gonna tell the story of like how long this you know remains a thing.
Yeah, I mean, and at some point, Tom Holland seems like the type of guy who's gonna want to do other things, and he has. Right. I mean, it's not like he's only waiting around for this.
Uncharted.
Yeah, but you know, eventually he's going to move on from this role the same way Chris Evans has seemingly moved on. You know, from Captain America, and Robert Downey Jr. has seemingly moved on from Tony Stark and Iron Man, and so on and so forth. But like, it doesn't have to be right away.
No.
And you know, and Peter Parker
looks young enough.
He does, and Peter Parker gets older. He gets older in the comics too. I mean, you know, you don't want him to be 60. But you know, sure. But I do think that you do have that natural progression to hand it off to Miles Morales, because Miles Morales exists in the universe. He was teased in Homecoming.
Yeah.
You know, he's been established because of the animated films and the video game. So it's a character now that people are familiar with. And I think it's perfect. I think it fits for what everybody's trying to do. And I think it's only a matter of time.
What if they do like something where it's not even like they're like, oh, he's got the moniker, but like Peter Parker walks past him and he's like, who are you? And he's like, oh, hey, I'm Miles.
Yeah, I mean, they would, obviously you'd have to have someone already cast that you know is going to be making these movies for you.
Yeah, but and then all of a sudden the money starts coming out of the skies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think people are going to flip the script, man.
Yeah,
I think people are gonna flip the script regardless for this film.
Oh yeah,
this is gonna be the film that's like, it's just gonna crush at the box office. Like, I'm excited to get tickets in advance.
Yeah, right now the projections on, you know, a couple of the different sources are in the $125 to $145 million range opening weekend, which would obviously be like the biggest opening weekend clearly of the pandemic era, and you know, one of the bigger opening weekends, period, right? But you know, who knows? Maybe it even surpasses that. I mean, it is, the question winds up being, is this going to be the movie that plays more like a pre-pandemic era movie? Like, does it?
Yeah, that's yeah, my bad.
Does it do 350, 400 million, you know, something like that, domestic? Does it do, you know, 800, 900 million worldwide or whatever? You know, like, is it going to play like that? I guess we'll have to wait and see. But
and he's getting an international debut, correct?
Yeah, a couple like days earlier. International markets not, as well. Like, not much, but yeah, it's only a couple days
earlier.
But
he's getting China.
Oh, is it getting a China release?
I think he's getting a China release. I think I read that somewhere that he was going to be one of the first films in a long time to get a China release.
It could be. Yeah, let's see if there's yeah, it looks like it. Just looking through this here to see. I mean, they're releasing posters and whatnot for it.
Amazingly crafted posters.
But then again, they did those for Venom, and Venom still hasn't gotten a release date yet. I mean, there's issues right now with the China box office because the government is being very, like, they're making it very difficult right now for foreign films to air in China. Like, it's tough. They're making it very tough for people, and they're really cracking down on it. But yeah, I don't see anything right now about, that doesn't mean it's not, but, I don't see anything like definitively about it, but Far From Home made almost $200 million in China.
First billion-dollar Spider-Man.
Yeah, so you would think that it would.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah,
I mean, this is going to be the movie to really keep a very close eye on. It'll be Marvel's sort of return to form, if it is.
Yes.
Marvel and Sony.
And the box offices. Period.
Yeah. For real.
Yeah. So speaking of Marvel and box office and all that, have you been following the story of the scientific accuracy of the Thanos finger snap?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So for those of you who are not familiar with what we're talking about, scientists who apparently have nothing better to do with their time have established that the snap at the end of Avengers Infinity War that led to half the population disappearing is not scientifically possible.
You don't say.
Now,
damn it, man. That was my dreams of world domination.
Yeah, now the beauty of this is not that it's not scientifically possible because, like, a purple god-like creature
with
would
a
come to Earth
chin
with
for a ball sack for
yeah,
a chin.
with a, you know, a glove with these all-powerful gems couldn't snap his, like, that part they're okay with. But they're literally talking about the actual scientific possibility of it. So here, it was the researchers at the Georgia Institute of Technology, this is via Live Science, found that the act of Thanos snapping his fingers while wearing the Infinity Gauntlet was actually impossible to pull off. According to the study, a finger snap is the fastest acceleration of the human body ever measured, and the physics involved should have been impossible for Thanos while wearing the gauntlet. Not.
Yikes.
Yeah. So this is where we're at right now. Yeah. The study says the acceleration of a finger while it's snapping is incredibly high, three times as fast as the acceleration of a professional baseball player's arm during a pitch. A snap only takes 7 milliseconds, which is more than 20 times faster than the blink of an eye. In order to pull this off, the most important component is friction. And of course, these researchers found that attempting to snap while wearing metal gloves does not, in fact, generate enough friction.
You don't say. So he couldn't physically have snapped his fingers.
He could have, but like it wouldn't have created enough friction to destroy the universe. So, I mean, I guess we should be thankful for that, so that now we know. I mean, this is easy. When Thanos, the giant purple godlike creature, comes down to Earth and attempts to eliminate half of the population of the universe with a snap of a finger, we just watch and laugh at him as the imbecile tries to do it with the damn glove that he spent, I don't know, centuries trying to accumulate or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the joke's ultimately on him. So, I mean,
physics,
really,
gotta love it.
I mean, I know you're very into the scientific accuracy of, you know, superhero. Like, I know that there are people, there are people who like debate and analyze and like the scientific accuracy of like sci-fi, like Star Trek and stuff like that. But like, this is like, at least those shows are like, like, they're fiction, clearly, but, like, they're still, like, trying to be, like, it's this is the future.
Yeah, this is where somebody was, like, they read another study of, like, what it would actually take for someone to be Bruce Wayne. How much money would it take for him to kind of construct the bat suit and the Batmobile and all of that stuff? And go, hey, what if we analyze Thanos' snap? That sounds like a great idea.
I would say that whatever, I don't even remember what it was now, Georgia or whatever. Those researchers, that group, they might want to reconsider what they're doing, because I feel like
big time waste of resources, guys. I hope, and this is why certain diseases have not been cured, because we've got researchers doing stuff like this.
Yeah. Hey, did we talk about Prey?
No.
Prey.
That's you're talking about the series that's going to debut on FX, right?
On Hulu, FX on Hulu.
On Hulu, I'm sorry. That's right.
It's the new Predator prequel, yeah. I guess, technically.
We did not talk about that.
So this caught me off guard. I mean, this was something, I guess, that came out, was it on Disney Plus? No,
it didn't come
Disney
out,
Plus
it came
day,
out on,
but
the news was released on Disney Plus Day, but it was not officially.
Right,
because
it's not
Disney
a Disney Plus
Day.
Thing.
Right.
But it's 20th Century.
It was released by Variety, I think.
Yeah, 20th Century Studios, which is now part of Disney. They're releasing a movie called Prey, which is a prequel to Predator, and it's going to air on Hulu or via FX on Hulu, same thing. And, I mean, this is going back, like, I don't know how many years, right? Like, to, like, the, I guess, feels like it's going to be, like, a similar story to the original, not with, like, mercenaries and stuff, but, like, there's this girl that is going to fight them off or whatever. I mean, it's interesting. That's a franchise that, like, you talk about a franchise that probably never should have really become one. I mean, the first Predator is cool. I mean, I saw it in theaters. You know, it's fun. It was a great concept. Predator 2, not so much. And they just kept trying. And it hasn't been good. Like, Predators is the one that Robert Rodriguez directed.
Yeah, that was so not good.
That wasn't great. And The Predator, I don't even think I saw that one. That was the last one.
I saw that on a flight. And it was like an egregious film.
Mm.
Just gratuitous, like, F this, F that. Oh. And like, what's his name? Sterling K. Brown.
Yeah.
Is in that film. And it's such a bad movie, man.
And then, of course, the Alien vs. Predator movies are terrible.
That first one wasn't too bad.
But it's...
I mean, it's bad, but it's not that bad.
Yeah. But, I mean, so it's made. They keep trying, though.
It's not Aliens Resurrection bad.
No, Alien Resurrection is a different kind of bad than Alien. Yeah. Like, Alien vs. Predator is like... Those movies are like... Yeah, I mean, those were Paul W.S. Anderson movies. Yeah. I keep it as the two Andersons, Paul Thomas Anderson, who makes great movies like Boogie Nights, and then there's Paul W.S. Anderson, who made like the Resident Evil movies and the Alien vs. Predator movies. Like, they're just kind of like, you know, cheap.
He's a franchise killer.
Yeah, they're just like cheap cash ins, you know, like just trying to capitalize on two things. Like, Alien Resurrection is just bad, just boring and bad. And like, that franchise was way too long in the tooth by that point. That's another one that has not. You know, you talk about, like, the first Aliens, a classic. Aliens is a classic for different reasons, right? And then, like,
yeah, I mean, you look at the first and last installment of the Aliens franchise, and you're like, yikes.
Well, even the, I mean, after, I mean, Alien 3, which, you know, is a fascinating story of the making of the movie, because it was David Fincher, and the movie was taken away from him, you know, and David Fincher wound up becoming this iconic film director. You know, that movie's just kind of boring and dull, and then Alien Resurrection is bad, and then, you know, Prometheus wasn't any good, and Alien Covenant, not really. So, like, both of these franchises, these Alien and Predator, that they've tried to just, I mean, they've had comic books and video games and all this stuff, and it's like, there's not a lot of quality, like, cinema from these two franchises that have just seemingly gone on forever, and they just continue to keep trying to, like, revitalize them. But at least this one's on Hulu, so it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they're not trying to go the theatrical route. So that's, but yeah, I thought that was interesting. So I was like, oh, all right. And Prey, so it's also interesting when you have a movie that is part of a franchise and you don't give it a name.
Yeah, they're stepping away from it.
Yeah, even though the logo is, it's in the Predator font. I mean, you know. It's not called Predator Prey or Predators Prey or anything like that. It's just Prey. So that usually means reboot or, you know, or starting over
right.
or whatever. So, yeah, I just thought that was interesting. I had something I was going to talk about last week, and then we didn't wind up getting to it. So
I'm intrigued. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, it's not much of an investment. I mean, will I watch it on Hulu? Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
I've watched worse. Same. You know.
For real.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So
have we hit the end? I mean, it looks like we hit every every topic we wanted to talk about until something else drops.
Yeah, which probably isn't going to be much.
We'll give you guys some reactions to Ghostbusters.
Well, and Hawkeye debuts this week.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, I'm all in on that. I'm all in on that. Vincent D'Onofrio, what a jerk! By the way, retweeting stuff from Hawkeye, like, can't wait to check this one out. Like, screw you, dude. Getting everyone all stoked and excited about the potential of him coming back.
Well, it makes sense.
You know.
I mean,
and then, you know, I just keep on hearing more and more stuff about Charlie Cox.
Yep.
So at this point, I'm out of the fight with any of this because I feel like I'm about to get blasted in the face with a Mephisto sucker punch.
Wait, which is the fight? What are you at? What fight are you out of? Trying to avoid just stuff or trying to keep up?
Like, okay. All of the rumors and the bullshit from the actors about. Will I? Won't I? Am I? I'm not. I'm not doing, like, F you guys. I don't care if you're coming back to this franchise or not. I don't even care about the franchise at this moment. Let me just go. I'll get my ticket to the theater. I'll watch the show, and then we'll see. If you pop up, great. If you don't, it is what it is.
Right. Yeah. And if something happens to pop up and, you know, then, okay, if it's released, then... You know, if it's a press release or it's, you know, footage the studio releases or something right. like that, images, then that's that. But yeah. Yeah, there's no reason to get all caught up in that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something to talk about, you know, certainly, and it's interesting conversation, but like to be scouring the internet and trying to decipher all this stuff and figure it all out because you think it might have, it's no reason. The show is going to be on soon enough. Spider-Man yep. No Way Home will be out soon enough, less than a month now. So, yeah, I think by the end of No Way Home, we will have a very good idea of where a lot of things are heading.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Well, we're heading out.
Yes, we are.
That's where we're heading. So you can head to thefanboygarage.com and check out all of our stuff. And, of course, you can head to our social medias, the Facebook, the Instagram, and the Twitter at the Fanboy Garage. And you can find me on Twitter at RealCLMighty.
And you can find me on Twitter at AARonSpeaks. Thank you so much for listening to episode 155 of the Fanboy Garage. We will catch you guys next week. Have a good one.
You're listening to the Fanboy Garage Podcast.